I'd like to consider the word reflect. And my subject this morning is reflections. Looked up a definition in the dictionary, and I find the word reflect can mean to throw or turn back the thoughts upon the past operations of the mind or upon past events. We reflect with pleasure on a generous or heroic action, and we reflect with pain on our follies and vices. We reflect on our former thoughts, meditations, and opinions. And I think that most all of us have been reflecting some, if maybe not a lot, in this last week. Reflecting for me includes a lot of things. It includes my personal life and my spiritual life. It includes my successes and my failures. It includes my accomplishments and my disappointments. And as I reflect over the things that have led up to today, I see things that impact me today. One of the things that happened, it actually happened yesterday, Darren and Caitlin was over there and we got to talking about going to school, and one of the boys was, I don't even remember which one, was talking about who their first grade or second grade teacher, and I began to reflect, and I don't remember my first grade teacher's name. It was a little bit distressing to me. I thought, you know, surely I would never forget who my first grade teacher was, but there's just been a lot of other things that's crowded that out of my head. There's been a lot of other and I was thinking, now, who was my third grade teacher? And I think I can remember her name. But there's some of that that's starting to get fuzzy in my head. Now, maybe when I get to be really old, all of that will be sharp again. I don't know. But right now, when I begin to reflect, those things are just kind of have faded out of my memory. There's too many other things that have taken their place. But as I reflect back on my life, I can reflect on going to school. I can reflect on the things that I learned, the principles I learned in school. I can reflect on the mentality of the instruction that was given while I was in school. I can reflect on the state of society when I was in school. Society's perception of things like alternative lifestyle and drug use and what was expected out of young men and young ladies and what was acceptable for dress and conduct. I can reflect on those things, and there's been some changes in my lifetime. And I can reflect on the things that I was taught in school from the standpoint of history and geography and things like that about subjects like Islam and Catholicism. And, you know, there's been some changes there too in our world in the last 35 years or so, or 40 years. I can reflect on the choices I made for a companion. I can reflect on my experiences of entering the workforce and children coming into our home. And I can reflect on my feelings and my emotions of Responding to God's call. I can reflect on all that. I can think about and turn my thoughts back to the things that have led up to where I'm at today. So I'd like to ask us today to reflect. Maybe not during the course of our message because you might not hear what I have to say, but I'd like to initiate you to reflect on what has got you to where you're at today and what caused you and prompted you to be right where you're at this morning. You know, in the scripture we find instances that that's been recorded of reflection, and I'd like to read some of those, draw some points out. I'd like to go to Genesis, the first chapter, and I'd like to notice here that at the conclusion of the basic creation story, we find in Genesis 1 and 31, it says, "And God saw everything that He had made. He reflected on His creation, and He says, He saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So He reflected on the creation that He had created, and His conclusion was that it was good. And you know, one of the most comforting things that we can do is reflect on events of life and reflect on our decisions and our choices and say, well, that was good. Another place, I believe He said, well, and here it says, it was very good. You know, there's a difference between good or acceptable and very good. Very good is when we reflect and we think, oh, that brings me a lot of joy. There's a lot of satisfaction. I'm glad that I did that. So see, I can reflect too in my life, and I'm so thankful for the things that I can reflect on and think, that was very good. I feel that as I reflect, there's been a lot of things that have been very good for me in coming to this place and accepting this responsibility of being a pastor here. It's been not just good, it's been very good. But it's impacted me. It's impacted me today because there's a loss that I'm dealing with in my reflection. And it's going to impact my course in the future. So God was reflecting on His creation, and He said it was very good. And as you reflect on your life up to this point, I trust that you can find things that are good, very good. Things that you're so thankful that you have incorporated in your life. And maybe you look on and say, oh, there's a lot of things that haven't been so good, but there are things. I have made some good decisions and some good choices. And I'd like for you to be encouraged with those this morning. I'd like for us to turn to Daniel, the fourth chapter. And notice that reflecting can be something that can draw us away from the real focus that we ought to have in life. And some people begin to reflect on their own accomplishments and begin to reflect on their life, and they begin to become elevated, and that's what happened here in the book of Daniel. In the fourth chapter, in the 29th verse, it says, maybe we'll start 28th verse. "And this came upon, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? King Nebuchadnezzar began to reflect on the things that were around him. And it's good, I think, for us to reflect on the things that are around us. But Nebuchadnezzar began to look at the prosperity. He began to look at the power. He began to look at the majesty that was around him. And he began to be elevated in his reflection. And I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous for us to be elevated in our reflecting about ourselves. Nebuchadnezzar became elevated in his reflection, and it cost him his sense of reason. If we read the rest of the story, we know that Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, and he was insane, and he was driven out from being able to associate with other people, and he was just kind of kept out with the animals. Because he was such a wild person, he lost his mind. The Lord caused his ability to reason and reflect to escape him for a period of 7 years, I believe. That's a long time. And I want us to recognize today that in our reflecting, if the Lord has blessed us, if we've had some good things happen to us in life, and we were in a place of prosperity, maybe temporally, maybe physically, maybe we have a lot of things that has happened to us that make us feel secure in our emotions and all of that. I want to caution us about reflecting and thinking that it's because of me. It's because I'm so capable, and it's because I'm so deserving. Because Nebuchadnezzar began to reflect in that manner, and it was very disastrous to him. Not only is it good to reflect, and it's refreshing to reflect and see the things that have gone right in our life, but we have to recognize that reflecting is something that can be taken so far as to elevate ourselves. And I want to be careful about that in my own. I'm very thankful. I try to be careful and thank the Lord for the health and the strength that He has blessed us with and the peace that He has blessed us with in our home. But I'm going to tell you, when I begin to think it's because I'm special and it's because of me, I'm getting in a dangerous position. So I want us to be careful about reflecting in that respect. I'd like to turn back to the book of Genesis in the 6th chapter. And I'd like to notice another place that God began to reflect on the state of mankind. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the 5th verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. This was the very creation that He had looked on and said, and reflected on it, and said, "This is very good." And now He's looking on mankind, and He's looking on His creation, and He says, He's so disappointed. He says it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And this was all a result of His reflecting. And I'm interested today, not just being caught up in reflecting, because we can become so caught up in reflecting that it consumes us and absorbs us, and we're not able to function in everyday life. But I'm interested in what the end result is. The end result, when God looked on His creation and said, it's very good, is I believe that He was encouraged with the outlook that mankind had. I believe when Nebuchadnezzar looked on his things that was around him, that he allowed his reflecting to lead him in a direction that was a detriment to him. And here we see that the God of heaven, the God of creation, began to reflect on his creation and realize there was things here that was very distressing. It was very disturbing. It was something that he said, I wished I'd have never done it. I wished this hadn't come to this place. He says he repenteth the Lord. He was sorry that things, as he reflected over the events, he was sorry that it had got to that place. And he came to the point that there was some action that he planned. And I'm interested in the action that we would plan from our reflecting today. As you reflect on your life and how you got to the point you're at today. If you came here discouraged, if you came here encouraged, if you came here feeling overwhelmed with the troubles and cares of life, if you came here feeling like life is good, I'm interested in us not just reflecting, but what are we going to do with that? What's the action that comes out of that? I'm going to tell you, if you're reflecting on life and you think, oh, I've never had it so good. I feel so blessed. I'm encouraged. I feel like that there's no reason to be discouraged. I'm just going to caution you, don't be elevated in that. I'm going to caution you to what's the end result? Keep your spirit and keep your mind tempered and in subjection to the Lord. There's a danger that you could get into there. And if you're here this morning and you feel crushed and overwhelmed by the circumstances and the events of life, and maybe you can reflect on things that's led up to this point, and you said, I wish I could just wipe the slate clean and start over. That's what the Lord is talking about here. You know, the Lord wants to help us with how we respond to our reflections. And the Lord wants us to recognize that there is an appropriate action on our reflecting. You know, I can begin to reflect on things that have transpired in my life, and I can begin to decide it's time for some real action and some real change, but I've got to be careful. You know, the Lord reflected and he thought, I'll just have to destroy them all. But we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And not everyone was destroyed. People come to life-changing decisions many times because they reflect on where they're at. I remember working with a man one time that had a tobacco habit. And not everybody responds this way. But he started having some health problems because of that. At least that's what the medical field told him. And he went to an old doctor, and the doctor told him, said, you know, I think I can probably help you, but as long as you're still dipping, I'm not going to help you. You're going to have to quit dipping. And he began to reflect on that and the consequence of it. And he made a life-changing decision. He went from a man that would go to the smoke shop and come back to the workplace with whatever you call it, a big sleeve of skull or whatever it was that he dipped all the time. And I don't know how many times a month or a week that he went out and got a big roll of that, but he had these cans everywhere and it was in his mouth constantly. But as he reflected on the consequences, and he reflected on the path that it was taking him and where he was at that time, he made a drastic change in his life. And he quit it. Just like that, he quit it. And the places that were developing in his body began to heal. And I know the man today, and he doesn't He has allowed his reflecting on his situation to make a life. This has been probably close to 20 years ago. And the symptoms that he was having all are gone. And he hasn't went back. He began to reflect on the consequences, and he made a drastic change in his life. I remember the story being told of my grandfather, my mother's father, and how that he began to reflect on habits that he had. And when his son, first son was born, his oldest three children were daughters, and when his first son was born, he began to reflect on habits that he had in his life. And it was before he really knew the saints. He didn't really know what salvation was all about, but he began to reflect on his habits. And he told my grandmother at the time, he told her, he said, I don't want my boys to grow up and know me like this. And he made some drastic changes because he began to reflect on where he was at and the habits, the destructive habits that he had in his life, and he made some drastic changes. So I believe that just like God was reflecting here, and he was prepared to make some drastic changes in his and he did in his creation. You and I, as we begin to reflect, God is interested in helping us make the changes that's necessary to change the course of our life. I don't know what the course you're on. I don't know where it's going to take you. But I'm going to tell you, as we begin to reflect on where we're at and how we got to where we're at, it's important for us to be willing to make the changes and say, Lord, help me. I want to make some changes that's in the right direction. I'm reminded of a popular story that all of us have probably read at some point in our life by a man named Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. You ever you know that story? And it's about a man that he wrote this story when he was about out of money. And he needed some money to help him get along in life. And he wrote this story and completed it, I understand, about the end of November of 1843. And it came out and was published, and everybody liked it, and it was being sold, and he got the resources that he needed. But the whole thing about the story was the main character began to reflect on who he was. He began to reflect on where he was headed. He began to reflect on if he stayed on this course, where his end result would be. And we all know the name from reading it in school or hearing it on the radio. We all know the name Ebenezer Scrooge because of Charles Dickens. But as he thought about the course he was on, he made some changes because he reflected on where he got to. And I'd like for us today, if you reflect on your life, I can reflect on mine, and I can look down and see maybe the things that seem to be accomplishments and seem to be good things, and I can also reflect on the mistakes I've made and the failures I've had. And I can begin to look and say, Lord, I don't like the course that this is going in, and I don't want to end up where this is going to take me. I can ask the Lord to help me to make the changes that's necessary. Yes. I'd like for us to look at another passage of Scripture in the book of Lamentations in the 3rd chapter. Jeremiah was a man that had been through a lot of difficulty in his life. And he lived during a time when the nation that he lived in was overthrew by foreign forces. And he lived during a time that he had been persecuted for preaching the truth. He lived during a time that he faced great obstacles in his personal life. And after the whole society around him collapsed and he was left with the rubble that was behind, we have this book, Lamentations of Jeremiah. And it's poetry in a form. Maybe we don't understand it as poetry sometimes, but I'd like to begin reading in the third chapter of Lamentations about the 19th verse. He says, "Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." Jeremiah here is reflecting. He's remembering his affliction and misery, the wormwood and the gall. I don't know about you, but I don't really know what wormwood is, so I had to look it up. Wormwood, according to my references, has a bitter, nauseous taste. It's not something like chocolate chip pecan pie. It is bitter and it's nauseous. Makes you want to throw up to just taste the stuff. But it's stomatic and corroborate. Now, you know what those mean? I didn't either. So I had to look that up. It means it's good for your stomach. It increases, it stimulates your stomach and strengthens your stomach. And that other word that I may not pronounce right means it means strengthening or having the power and quality of giving strength. And that says wormwood does both of those things. Now, I don't know how much of a stomach that you've got for trouble, for drama, for distress and problems and headache and heartache, but I don't have much of a stomach for that. I don't like it. It's bitter and it's nauseous to me. And I just as soon spit it out as to taste it. I don't really want to swallow it. But as I reflect on life, I recognize that we all have to face some of that. We all have to face affliction of some sort or another, and we all have to face some wormwood and some gall. And as we reflect on our wormwood and gall, listen to what Jeremiah says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Now, does that sound like a paradox? Initially, it does to me too. On the surface, when I recall, if I begin to reflect on wormwood, gall, affliction, and misery, it doesn't foster hope. All right? On the surface. Remember, he says, I'm reflecting on the wormwood and the gall, along with the affliction and the misery. I'm reflecting on that stuff that is nauseous tasting. It's bitter, but it has some good properties. You know, in my line of work, and I would guess anybody's line of work, you don't like making mistakes. It costs you something. You don't like to be found failing or not knowing the answer. That's not profitable, you think. You'd like to point and say, just look at my track record. Not one bobble back there. Now, wouldn't that be something to reflect on? But I'm going to tell you, when I reflect on my career, in my occupation, I see some wormwood and some gall back there. I've had some wormwood that just made me sick to have to chew that stuff again. I've had some things in my life that did not taste good at all. And I would just as soon took a whooping as I have to do some things again. But I did it. And you know what? It's been stomatic to me. It's been something that has been strengthening to me. It's helped me to be who I am. The times that I thought, I wished I hadn't tightened that quite so tight. And I wish that I had read the book just a little bit more before I came to the conclusion I did. And made the assessment that those things have been a stomatic. They've been something that has strengthened me in my walk in life. And what about our spiritual walk with the Lord? You know, I'd like to say I had the right perception and interpretation of every scripture I've ever opened the Bible to. But that's not true. I've had some things that I've had to go back and scratch my head and ask the Lord, give me some better understanding here. Help me, Lord, to know what your will is. All of us have had some wormwood and gall experiences. And as you reflect over life, what's your action going to be? Are you going to allow yourself to just be sick? You know, if you taste something that's nauseous, the involuntary reaction is to get rid of that. To throw up. But you know what? If we just constantly going around feeling sick and puking, we're not going to gain much strength. And we're not going to get on the right track. But the Lord wants us to reflect and gain strength. Listen, I'm not done reading. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Do you know the Lord wouldn't feed you wormwood and expect you just be sick all your life? He wants us to be strengthened in our stomach. He says they are new, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I want us this morning to think and reflect on what's brought you to where you're at today. And you know, the enemy would like us just to go around puking and gagging, sick at our stomach, not able to face life. That's what the devil would like for you to do. But I want to tell you that the Lord wants you to look to Him to help you during these times. He would like you to make, if it takes some drastic changes, to make some drastic changes. I've counseled people before that's got themselves in a bad situation. And I've told them things like, you're going to have to pick some different friends. You're going to have to make some adjustments. You can't go back there and expect to be a light in a place where they have had power over you. You're going to have to get yourself removed from that and get some strength and get on your feet spiritually. And we may have to make some drastic changes in our life to really get things on. Let the wormwood be a strength to us. Yes, I know it makes us sick. We can look back on our failures and be almost literally sick to our stomach. I felt those things. But the Lord would like for us to reflect and make adjustments accordingly. As we reflect on all those things, experiences in life, it'll foster hope if we'll allow ourselves to realize that God wants to help us. He says here, the Lord's mercies, it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Did you know the Lord still loves you when you've done something that makes Him sick at His stomach? He wants to help you. He says they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. That's where Jeremiah's hope was coming from. It wasn't because he was enjoying the taste of the wormwood. He recognized that with the help of the Lord, he could rise above it, and it could be a stepping stone. It could be a point of strengthening to his spirit and who he was. You know, I reflect on our loss in the congregation here, and I think, Lord, what could I have done different? But I can also reflect on the things that we done right. I would like for Sister Jeannie to have seen our building project completed. I'd like for her to be able to enjoy it. But I can reflect on the day that we ended up working on Sunday to finish the roof. Then that night she came for service, if we was going to have one. She came and sat out under the shade tree. And we worked till afternoon and had lunch. And maybe finished up a few things and picked up our tools. And it was suggested, well, maybe we could have a little service in our addition over here. And we did. No steps, no way to get in. But she was one of the first ones to the door. And we had to help her up in the room. And we had a little service. And she was so enthused about the whole thing. I reflect on that, and it brings me great joy. But as we reflect on our lives today, I don't know if you reflect on something that needs to be changed, but if you do, allow it to be wormwood to you. Allow it to be something that will be strengthening. Don't allow it to be something that crushes you and causes you to not want to go on. Remember, the enemy wants you to be sick. Yes. He wants you to reflect and be sick. But that's not what God wants you to be. God wants us to reflect and be strengthened. That's where our help's coming from. That's where we're going to be able to go on. That's where we're going to be able to go on, because we want to be pleasing to him, not to just maybe someone else. But as I reflect, I want to be strengthened. Do I have some wormwood in my life? Yes, I do. Do I have some failures? Yes, I've got some failures. I've got some things that I wished had never happened in my life. I've got some things that I wish that I could say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had that kind of weakness. But I know that the Lord can take those weaknesses and make them strong points. Yes. If we'll be willing. And if we'll allow him to be our source of help. So I want to encourage us today. I don't know what you're facing on an individual basis. Maybe I think I know what we're facing on a collective basis as a congregation. But I want you to know that the Lord can take those things that look like wormwood, that looks like gall, it looks like failure, it looks like hopelessness, and he can make something that's strong out of it. Don't allow your reflecting to get your head down so far that you can't see your way out. You pray for me.